Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 4:49 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. And today I thought I would start off with China because the Shanghai Property Index is deteriorating quite rapidly and there has been a progression of lower rally highs since the peak around 9,000 back in January. But most particularly, it had been trending higher for the previous 2 years and this has been a really major reversal. It would have been so easy to have been sucked into that advance that we had, the big breakout that was in January, and it completely failed. I was particularly surprised by that. I was getting more enthusiastic about China back in January, and then you had that massive pullback, and now the situation is continuing to deteriorate. Well, we know that China is engaging in more defaults, and that is something that's going to weigh on the property sector because there's a lot of leverage there. Then, of course, out there on the horizon is the eventual fact that they are going to eventually introduce property taxes. And there are people in China that own hundreds, if not thousands, of apartments with no cost of carry. And they can hold apartments vacant so that they just are just holding them for the benefit of capital appreciation because there is no property tax. By introducing property taxes, well, that will increase the incentive to find a renter. If you get a lot more supply coming to the market in terms of renting, then that is going to put a depressing effect on prices, which will introduce more supply into the market in the terms of sales. So this is something that could potentially weigh on China, not just on the property sector, but on the economy generally. And when we look at the Shanghai A-Shares Index, then it is continuing to trade lower in here. It is encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. It's been doing that since that big decline that we had in January. So this is a deteriorating market and it is trending lower. Now, we can look at this chart and it is not a bullish chart. We can also rationalize it by saying, well, that there are companies like Alibaba that will be seeking a depository receipt listing on the mainland, and that has the potential to sap up some of the potential demand that there might otherwise have been for other shares within China. Alibaba is right at the upper side of its range. It's been pausing below this $200 level for the last few months, but it's going to have to sustain a move above that level to confirm a return to demand dominance. Then when we look at what's going on in the H-share market, well, the index has been holding around the region of the trend mean for much of the last 4 months, but it closed below it today, and it really does need to bounce pretty emphatically tomorrow. Well, we've had a more positive environment on Wall Street so far today, so that does increase the potential that we could get some steadying in these Chinese indices tomorrow. But there is no denying that China has got some challenges ahead of it. Well, then when we think, when we look at everything else that's going on in Asia, there is the potential that we're going to get some get the central bank in Indonesia moving in to support the currency. The Jakarta Composite is right now in the region of the trend mean. The Indonesian rupiah is susceptible it has been weakening over the course of the last few months. The last time that central bank intervened strongly was in 2015, and if they're willing to intervene again, well, that should help to backstop the exodus of foreign investors from the Indonesian market. Then I think it's also worth keeping an eye on what's going on in Brazil, because the currency has been trending lower, and it's in additional weak territory in here today. There has been a drought, and particularly around Buenos Aires, Rio, there is perhaps some evidence that it is beginning to lighten up, but then this currency is continuing to weaken here, and that was a substantial breakout that we've seen over the last few weeks. So there is the potential that we're going to see a retest of the 4 to the dollar level, and It's going to require, I think, intervention by the central bank to arrest the real's decline. Well, when we look at the Bovespa, the stock market index, it has been benefiting from the weakness of the currency in nominal terms, but it's also right in the region of the trend mean. That's an impressive, reasonably consistent staircase step sequence uptrend that we've had since the beginning of 2016. If the trend is going to bounce, then this it, or the price is going to bounce. This is about the area where it's going to have to happen. It is below the trend mean now, and it hasn't spent more than a week below the mean on any sustained basis since 2016. So if it's going to bounce, this is where it really does need to be getting about it. Then the news was full yesterday of what's going on in the Italian bond markets. Well, it was a little bit steadier in here today. Part of the reason why you had the market pulling back so violently yesterday was obviously because of fears about what's going on with when the next election is going to be. That's certainly one consideration. But then there wasn't any liquidity in the bond markets, which exacerbated the move. So we've had a substantial move in the 2 year. It was in negative yield territory for just about the whole year previous to last week, and now the yield is at 1.71%. When we look at that on a weekly basis, it really very emphatically breaks that progression of lower rally highs evident since the peak in yields back in 2011. And we are getting at least some pause in here in terms of the decline. Maybe it declined too fast. But there are still some very big questions about what's going on in Italy. And this is not a situation that is over by anything close to any sense of that word, that the election is potentially going to happen in July. It's to be expected that the Five Star Movement and the League will get more acrimonious ahead of the election because they'll be looking for comparative advantage. But nonetheless, they do remain the most likely to form the next government. And on this occasion, they may in fact get the people they want into key positions. So this is an evolving situation in within Europe, and what's happening with the ECB is a big question. Because one of the other points that was coming through in terms of the commentary in here today was with German Bunds and inflation in Germany. Topped 2%. So that has taken some of the wind out of the tailwind that we've had for the German Bund over the last couple of days. And the yield was up by about 10 basis points in here today. Considering just how oversold this trend is on the daily chart, there is ample potential for some additional weakness in the Bund price. But now this is going to be a rather pivotal decision for the ECB, because we already know that we have this populist uprising on the periphery, most particularly in Italy and Spain, with Rajoy facing a no confidence vote that is bringing Spain into play as well. But if inflation is starting to rise in Germany, well, how is the ECB going to plot a path through those competing needs? Because Italy and Spain need looser monetary policy, and Germany needs tighter monetary policy. The last thing that the ECB wants is inflation. But that is exactly what the Italians and Spanish need. So this is a very big question for the ECB. Now, they wanted to stop their quantitative easing program in September. And if they stop their quantitative easing program, that's probably going to result in the size of the Fed's balance, or excuse me, of the ECB's balance sheet stagnating at approximately 4.5 trillion. But that's just not enough for these countries that have been subject to austerity for much of the last decade, where there is substantial numbers of people who have seen their living standards really deeply impacted and are frankly sick to death of this fiscal straitjacket. So this is going to be quite a conundrum for the ECB. And the euro is, I think, going to be particularly against the dollar. Is the big question is what are they going to do? Well, considering that the dollar has been really quite firm, there is the other side of this argument. What is the Federal Reserve going to do? Because the dollar has been so very firm, and the question I think they will be asking is whether that has already done the work of a rate hike. The US does not want to have the strongest currency in the world. And they have got it by virtue of the fact that the Federal Reserve is the only central bank that's raising interest rates. So, on the one hand, you have the ECB, which is getting inflationary pressures rising in Germany. And on the other, you have the Federal Reserve, which probably has less of an incentive to raise rates. Than it probably did a couple of weeks ago, not least because of the stress that it is putting on emerging markets and indeed on Europe. So this was an upward dynamic in favor of the euro in here today. I think investors are beginning to give the benefit of the doubt to whether the ECB would favor the periphery or the core, and Germany is, I think. We have to at least pay some due consideration to the fact that the euro is in fact Deutschmark, and that the most likely course of action is that we are going to see the ECB tailor policy more to what is happening in Germany than just about anywhere else. The euro is really quite oversold, and it. Following today's bounce, I think increases the potential that it is at least going to go back up and test the 120 area, and then could potentially fail. So I think the most likely scenario is that we're going to get some pause and consolidation. Well, the only currencies that gold has not been rallying against are the dollar and the yen. So. With the dollar's rally pausing, gold was up about $5 in here today, and it is back above the $1,300 area. Well, it needs to rally in a more convincing manner to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but certainly the price has at least paused in the region of the trend mean, and that is, I think, rather positive generally. I think it's also worth keeping a close eye on silver. Silver is an historically volatile commodity, but it has been confined to this very narrow range for most of this year so far, and this is quite unusual. So, when we eventually get the breakout, it's likely to be dynamic. We can also see a very good example of a failed upside break in April, where it went. The dynamic of the failure was greater than the dynamic of the breakout, and it went right back down and tested the lower side of the range. That's a rule of thumb from the chart seminar. But we're now bouncing again from the lower side of this range, and I think the most likely scenario is a retest of the $17 area, and then we'll see whether it is going to break on the upside. The other I think really quite volatile share that has been conspicuously inert over the course of the last few weeks is Amazon. It has been in this very tight range, below well, mostly below 1600, and there is increasing evidence that it may now be in the process of breaking on the upside. So this would, I think, conclude what has been a corrective phase for much of the last few months, and we may be on the cusp of Amazon extending its advance once more and racing on the upside again. So I think that would represent a further acceleration of this trend. And Amazon fits very squarely into the subscription business model group of companies that were previously highly cyclical and are turning much more into high growth versions of consumer staples stocks. That is also considering that Amazon is one of the largest cap companies, that it is at a new closing high is really quite a positive development. Then I think it's also worth looking at Google. When we just look at the example that we have from the evolution of the regulatory environment in the UK, where the retail or the RDR, the retail directive on how retail clients should be treated by investment professionals, what that did was it concentrated the market in the hands of a small number of large providers of sort of IFA type services. Now, with GDPR in the advertising sector, then that is likely to concentrate power again even further in the hands of companies like Google and Facebook. Well, Google had the bigger pullback and it has bounced from the $1,000 area. And so far, it remains reasonably steady. But this does look like a reasonably lengthy period of ranging that that Google has entered. Meanwhile, Facebook has rebounded impressively from the $150 area and is pushing back up towards its peak. So this is a, I think, really a very emphatic rebound, and there is the realistic possibility that Facebook is going to reassert on the upside. Snap, on the other hand, has been among the weakest of the social media companies, but it is beginning to firm, or at least it's showing very tentative signs of firming from the $10 area. And when we look at the Nasdaq 100, just as an index of these very large cap companies, it continues to exhibit relative strength, and it is coming back up towards this 7,000 level. So we know where risks are, and there has been a clear change in terms of the way that investors are looking on the world. They are, because of the strength of the dollar and the relative performance of the US stock market, that has been rather attractive in terms of the stock market performance. It's showing relative strength compared to the European sector, or indeed a lot of the emerging markets. And the other, I think, rather important point is what's the relative performance of the Russell 2000, which has cleared the 1600 level, is trading at new all-time highs, and this does look like it is now improving upon that performance, and this is really quite positive. But of course, it's also representative of largely domestically oriented companies that continue to benefit from the relative strength of the US economy, and that also, I think, rams home the point that it is the US that is one of the less risky markets out there at the present time. Then, when we look at the treasury market, if we were to talk about risks in terms of the US economy, then it is in the bond markets. And at the treasuries have rallied really quite impressively over the course of the last 10 sessions and unwound most of the oversold condition relative to the trend mean, and now we're starting to see some of that selling pressure coming back in. There is the simple metric here is that there's a great deal of additional supply that's coming to market, and that is going to I think result in some indigestion. So really, a sustained move back above the trend mean would be required to confirm a return to demand dominance for treasuries. If we look at the junk bond ETF, then there has been a clear loss of momentum, and it is now right in the region of its lows. So again, a sustained move back above the trend mean would be required to really question the return to or the supply dominated environment that we have in the junk bond markets. So the fact that you are getting some upward pressure on high yield spreads in Europe, I think that does help to highlight that it is Europe is the epicenter of risk right now, that China has definitely got challenges, and that it is the US is exhibiting clear relative strength, and it is the domestic oriented shares and technology that are the clearly bullish arguments, not just domestically but internationally right now. Then let's have a look at what's going on with Japan, because the strength of the yen has been a bit of a headwind for the Nikkei, but the yen is also a little bit weaker in here today. It really does need to weaken through 110 to confirm that we have seen a peak of more than short-term significance for the yen. And if it does in fact do that, well, then that should act as a tailwind for the Nikkei 225. I've been rather lamenting to myself that I missed the opportunity to buy it when it was closer to 20,000, and I am rather tempted at this 22,000 level following a 1,000-point pullback. But I think I am probably going to wait for another day before initiating a long position. The Topix Banks Index has come right back down to test the lows that we saw from earlier this year, and that is pretty close to the lower side of the range that we've seen over the course of the last 18 months. If the Nikkei bounces tomorrow, then we should anticipate that the banks will also be bouncing. And I think one of the most important points that we have out there is that wage inflation is increasing, and that it's not simply a US phenomenon, that the Japanese market is at pretty close to full employment, and it is still a growing economy. So eventually that is going to translate into additional upward pressure on wages. And we are on the cusp of inflation starting to take off, and that is despite the fact that we have some risks that are outstanding. The reality is that fiscal stimulus is what people are voting for, and as long as that remains the case, that the solution that many people find to their lower standards of living and fiscal stress is that they want more money in their pockets, and the easy way to do that is fiscal stimulus. So the US has already embarked upon that path, regardless of the fact that they are adopting a fiscal stimulus in a mature phase of the economic cycle, which is the very definition of pro-cyclical rather than counter-cyclical strategies. And we're going to see what happens with Europe. I think it's less likely outcome in Europe, but if the Italian situation continues to deteriorate, then that is going to stay the hand of the ECB in removing its stimulus package. And they may have to tolerate some higher German inflation. So I think the balance of probability is that the ECB would normally want to give the benefit of, or to give the greatest sway to what's happening in Germany as the biggest economy, but they may be pressured out of doing that because of some of the pressures that are occurring on the periphery. I think that is why there is so much uncertainty with regard to Europe, and that is unlikely to change anytime soon. And it does have the potential to represent a contagion effect on the rest of the global economy if things do go south there. But so far today, things have been a little bit more positive, but I don't think we're anywhere close to having a clear answer or a clear signal that it's just over. I think the most likely scenario is that we are going to have higher Italian bond yields over the course of the next few months. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.